Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Coastline Covenant Podcast. When we start a new teaching series here at Coastline, we usually like to devote some time on the podcast to giving a little overview of what is to come. We've started a brand new teaching series here called Blueprints, where we're looking at some of the ways that the Bible instructs us in building a church. This is a fun conversation where Sean Garrick and I really dive into the reason why this series seems so important now and what we want people to learn from it. I really loved this conversation, and we hope you do too. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week and every single week after that. Hello, welcome to another episode of the Coastline Covenant Podcast. Excited to be here talking through the new teaching series, Blueprints. Who came up with the name?
Me. Sean.
Figured it out. Oh, hi. Yeah. Okay, it's Sean. That's who that voice is.
A burst of me coming from.
Episode
may
what?
Might not be helpful.
Episode like 83 of the podcast. Like, oh, that's Sean. You're finally starting to figure out.
People will still walk through, you know, at church on Sunday and be like, oh, so you created this series.
Yeah.
They're like, no, I'm Garrick.
Okay, Garrick, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. If someone came to you and was like, you have to make a teaching series about the church, but before you plug in verses or theme or direction, what are you calling it?
What am I calling it?
Yeah, what's your name?
Oh, man. Wow, you really are putting me on the spot. I would have some kind of community theme. Living room, front door,
oh, that's
family,
good.
Something.
And I think that indicates a lot about who you two are. Sean, he's down to the bricks of it all. And Garrick's
the
like,
bricks.
Just come on through.
Yeah,
let's be friends. Sean's like, let's build.
And I'm like, yeah. Let's just talk about a structure. I just love structure.
Give me a system. I recently saw somebody saying that the most productive thing somebody can do is build systems for their life. Respond to that.
I feel like that's literally what I do.
But for your life?
A lot of like where my giftings go is like just creating structure and systems. That's like, yeah, so that works for me. That sounds like a good way to live. Yeah.
Garrick, what about you? Do you have a lot of systems in your life that you've created?
Oh, in your words, Hunter, woof.
Is that a good woof or a bad woof? Woof's a pretty ambiguous term when it comes to this usage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when you say...
No, I'm... Yeah, I mean, you need some kind of a little bit of organization, but I try to like... I like the organization just enough to keep you organized, but loose enough that it doesn't control or become the thing that you're doing.
No, what ends up happening is I go to Garrick and say, I think we should do this. What do you think? And then he says, yes, you can do that, or no, you can't. And if he says, yes, you can, then I go build it. And I come back to him and go, is yeah. this good? And he says, yes or no. And then I keep just doing that. And Garrick is the constant check to the work that I'm doing.
How often do you bring him a system that's pretty fleshed out and he's like, no?
He definitely just takes more time sometimes. Like, I just need to sit with this a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And
A lot of my job is slowing down the train.
Dude, that is the truth.
Right. Oh like, gosh. Hey, if we're going to go around this turn, let's do 30 and not 75. Like, I know you could get there faster, but we have a greater propensity for getting off the rails.
That just means like I can work faster. Honestly, I could do 90 knowing that you're going
to
actually be there to slow me down.
Yeah.
Like, here's another idea. Just pop the balloon if it's terrible.
Yeah.
That's a really good intro. I think a really good opening question to think about this sermon series about the church, because we don't think often about the church as like a system. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to build the church like you'd build any system in your personal life, in your professional life, in your family life. And so is this sermon series Blueprints, like, is this in response to you guys looking at the system of Coastline and saying like, things are great, let's enforce it, let's reinforce it? Are you guys looking at the system that we've built in Coastline over the past 2 years and saying like, well, I don't know, maybe we need to change directions? I guess what I'm asking is like, why this sermon series? Why now?
Sure. I don't think there's anything that's really unique about this sermon series. If you look at church world, churches are always trying to cast vision about who they want to become in the coming year, 2 years. So lots of churches have vision series. I think for a church plant, it's a little bit more unique in that we are building it, and it's more like raising a child almost. Than it is like building a structure. Because I think in the early days when we were kind of maybe doing some of the old sermon series, whether it be Foundations or Acts, Garrick, we were like trying to dream up of the ideal church we would like to create. And all of it was painting an ideal for people about what it could be in scripture. But I think now it's almost like we have this young child and its identity is a little bit more known to us, both what we've wanted to build and also what's kind of been organically just who it is. And so we're dealing with like a real identity and not just some sort of vision about what it could be, which makes, I think, this more fun than it was in the past, because we're talking about real people, a real culture. And so we can actually bring a little more shape to it.
Yeah. I mean, to stay in that same metaphor, to look at our church as kind of like a small but growing infant, or maybe we've reached toddlerhood as we're in like year two. When you're a parent, you have like markers of your child's development. And when they hit a certain marker, whether it be like starting elementary school or going into junior high, like I think parents usually rally around and go, hey, my kid's about to enter a new phase. What do we need to give them? How do we need to help them and love on them to prepare them for what's coming? And I look at this series kind of like that for Coastline. Like we're 2 years in and we're at a place where we're going to be brought in as a fully acknowledged covenant church in less than a month, which this is a good time to shout out. Saturday, April 29th, we're going to invite anybody from our congregation who wants to come down to San Juan Capistrano. Coastline is going to be basically stated in, voted in, however that works, as a fully fledged covenant church. So everybody's invited into that. And knowing that we're in that season, it makes sense of like, hey, this is a growth point for us. Let's think about this next season of Coastline and what it should be and where's God calling us.
And we'll talk a lot about later in an episode about what it means to be in the covenant and all of those things. Yep. But I want to go back to this idea, Sean, that you brought up, Acts Foundation. Like two-ish of our like 5-6 teaching series at this point have been about church. So what is it that sets this one apart? Is it that you're responding to the foundation series and saying like, okay, here's the foundations we built and we're going to tease those out a little bit more? Or is it like, we are just going to pretend like we never preached that sermon series and this is Foundations 2023. I guess I'm asking, like, do you just redo the foundation series every 2 or 3 years, depending on where we're at as a church? Or are we still in communication with those ideas? Obviously we are, with like our core values, but like, I'm just wondering, like, what makes this sermon series different than Foundation? What makes this one different than Acts, which is a whole book about a church starting?
Yeah. I think part of it goes back to the fact that Coastline wasn't planned. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't sit down and for 2 years chart out, boy, if I ever planted a church, I'd want it to be like this. Mm-hmm. Coastline happened out of the blue. And we were trying to find out, what would a church be for two guys, or four guys really, who never really planned to be church planters. So Acts was like a study about how churches start, with us getting some time to kind of learn for ourselves what the church could be.
Yeah.
And Foundations was us exploring our vision statement, our mission statement, and our four core values, you know, to live as God's beloved family, inviting all to experience Jesus, and fully family, holy worshiping, spirit seeking, boldly biblical. So it was us kind of putting out our best effort as this is what we think a healthy church can be. Now we're finishing year two and going into year three, and we're getting a chance to see where those, that vision statement and those values, where they're bearing fruit and where it's doing well, but also like where we see some areas for growth. And like, these are areas where we're not quite there yet. And we got to recast the vision and I think be a lot more specific about this is how we can live into these in much more important ways. And I think challenge the congregation with, hey, we've said this is a vision, this is, or we have a value, but we're not actually doing it. So this is where we get a chance to grow.
Yeah. I would agree with that. It's an opportunity as a series to flesh out those other series. I think that Sean said, we were finding them, we were creating them, we were putting them out there as far as our vision statement and our four core values. Now we're taking a look at, now that those are solidified, what's the next step of us living into them?
And you can do that with a toddler. You can't do that with an infant, right? Like, to keep that metaphor going, you can't teach your newborn to walk, but as your kid gets older, you can start to implement these things in their life and recognize, oh, you can actually respond to these now.
Yep.
I think that's great.
Back to your question too, I do think churches have to, you constantly have to find ways to continue to cast your vision over and over again, and hopefully not repetitively, but in light of the church is an organic entity and it's never the same. It is not the same in, you know, May of 2023 as it was in May and June of 2021, right? Like, we have picked up new people, new people have joined us. New people are always coming into the family. That's the vision. That's the goal. And it's kind of like, it's also a way of onboarding them to, wow, you've been attracted to this thing. Let us help explain for you what you're feeling and what you're being attracted to so that you not only experience it, but you live into it yourself for the person who's not here yet.
And I, Garrick, I think about some of the comments that were given to us by the Covenant as we started to plant the church. One of the things they warned us about was be careful about starting to meet as a church too soon, because once you begin to meet corporately, the culture of your church will firm up quickly and it will be harder to change. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm at least aware of the fact that as we move from year two into year three, that whatever we want to see Coastline become, we should, or grow into, what the sort of character we want to have, we should be really conscious to address that now. Because it will be harder to change it in year 10 or in year 20 or in year 30. Like, forget about just in the very short term, but in the long term, we get a chance to kind of correct the trajectory so that we end up building the sort of church that we truly want to. Because if we aren't attentive at that, we may end up far off the base and, and finding it extremely difficult to change.
And thinking about that advice from the Covenant, you know, the sooner you meet, the sooner your culture firms up. Do you guys think that you knew that subconsciously? I think back to like the $1 million quandary of Coastline in 2021. Should we start meeting post-Easter? Sunday after Easter, even Sunday of Easter, people are coming up to us and saying like, let's keep this train going. Where are we next week? And I can so vividly remember Garrick talking to a congregant and saying like, that's just not where we're at right now. And then I'm looking around at like the, you know, 600,000 people, according to Sean, who are there at Peninsula at Easter. And I'm thinking like, wait, are we there right now? So did you, Garrick, think you subconsciously knew like the second that we put a name and a culture and a building and a time to this, like, things are going to be harder to shift? Or do you think that you were just like, it's overwhelming, we can't do it? Or do you think it's both?
Probably both, but more the latter than the former, right? I mean, a part of it was that's the advice that we got, like, don't rush into it. You know, we are a little bit of a different entity, most probably than most church planters, and we've talked about that, you know, at length. I don't need to go into that. I think in hindsight, both Sean and I go, you know, we probably could have met starting after Easter and we would have been okay. But the reality was we weren't ready to, because we weren't planning on it. And I think the value, the unintended value that came out of that, and we've spoken about it, I think these last several weeks, I feel like we've shared about it as a staff, like, you know, having a lot of growth in the very beginning is exciting. And yet it's also, more importantly than that, is sustainable growth. And I do think that waiting an extra, we waited what, an extra 6 weeks? It wasn't a huge, you know, section of time.
Yeah.
It allowed us to, I think, have a growth trajectory that is, I think, healthier and sustainable to be able to keep the values that we're trying to continue to grow in and live out.
And we didn't want to hurt other churches. We were very aware of our strange creation, and we thought there's a chance if we go too quick, we might be grabbing at people and doing the opposite of what God wants us to do. So we were really conscious of that, perhaps too sensitive to that. I don't know. But I think our heart was in the right place, just going like, we didn't want to make this any more painful and for anybody that we had to.
We can't go back now. You know, we are moving in a direction. And I think another metaphor that comes up a lot is like, we were building the plane as it flew with Coastline. And I think now at this point, like, the plane is built and we have passengers, and the passengers like, okay, where are we going? Like, you guys are, we're here, what's happening? And so I guess my question then would be, what's the main hope for our congregation in this sermon series? Like, okay, plane is built, we're heading somewhere. What do you hope to tell the passengers of the plane now? Is it, here's where we're going? Is it, here's how you can help? Is it, here's what it means to be on this plane? Like, what is the hope as someone comes each and every week and hears these blueprint sermons? What do you want them to get out of this series?
Well, I think a lot of it is to cast a vision for who Garrick and I have, feel like Coastline needs to become in year three to keep growing as a church. Part of that will be to introduce some of our bylaws, because we're going to need some sort of structure as a church. As fun as it is for Garrick and I to get to decide everything, that's probably not in the best long-term health. To introduce people to the Covenant, because I think people know that we're a Covenant church. They've maybe even attended other Covenant churches, but that still can be a little bit foggy for people. And then there's just basic things as well of wanting our people to grow in prayer, wanting our people to grow in community, and kind of an understanding of who we are as a church. So it is to clarify and kind of cast vision for that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, not much more to say other than want people to know what we're about and what we're trying to accomplish. And then the invitation becomes that much stronger to not just come, but really to participate, you know?
And I think participation
is more than just showing up on Sunday. And if you're going to take that next step into participating in the vision and mission of what God has for Coastline, then you have to hear these things and you have to know it.
And I think that's what I was kind of getting at. Like participating at Coastline is, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm not. It feels to me different than any other church I've really been a part of because of our size and the way that our story has kind of come. Like the Foley family piece of Coastline feels so poignant each and every time we all meet together. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm hoping with this sermon series, that people are like, I'm in the family. And then you're like, are you really? Because here's what we're hoping. Here's the direction we want to go. And I think to that polity comment, Sean, because I my mind goes to the scene in The Social Network. Obviously, it's our favorite movie, where you know, the guys sit with Justin Timberlake, who plays the guy who founded Napster, Sean Parker, and he's like, "You guys have a party happening, and once you name the party's over." And I think a lot of people feel like that with Coastline. Like, well, this thing is cool. We come on Sundays, yada, yada, yada. And then you say something like polity. And they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I don't want polity. I don't want meetings. I don't want bylaws. I don't want elders. So what would you say to that person who's like, I don't want you to name this party. I want to keep going. I don't want polity. Polity is not part of the plane, my man.
Sure, man. Can I tell you how deeply I understand that concern?
Of course. It's my concern, Sean. I know. I feel like we share it.
I know. I really do. I think, I get it. I mean, there's more bad stories about church polity and bad, like, there's more trauma points for, like, church polity than there are, like, success stories. Mm-hmm. And so I get it. And yet I know that there's wisdom in the counsel of many, as the book of Proverbs says, and accountability is a good thing. Clarifying how things are done is important. You don't want to get into the middle of a crisis and then try to figure out what's the right way of handling it. And I think that we can create a system that's true to who Coastline is and avoid some of the pitfalls that we've seen if we do it thoughtfully and carefully. So I understand we're nervous. I mean, it's been really great. It's been really great getting to have all the authority in the world, Garrick, but I think it's inviting people into that, I still think is part of what we're called to do as pastors, which is to equip the saints for good works that Christ has prepared in advance of them to do.
Yeah, this is part of stepping into Ephesians 4 for sure. I mean, just being honest with you, Hunter, if I was left by myself leading this place, I probably would have done church polity like year 5.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
I would have been on the, you know, usually they say like somewhere between 3 and 5 years. I would have been on the back end of that. But part of that is, again, our unique shape that we are as a church. I do think it's good for our people to have some, just as much as I'm sure there are people going, hey, why disturb the party? There are other people in our congregation that understand, like, us being organized is important, not for just today, but it's important for this place 20 years from now. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to plan on, if God is going to bless us with growth, where it's really important, I think, to get your systems and structures in place while you still have your good, strong kind of identity formation, and then allow that to grow instead of trying to build that stuff in when you're also dealing with, wow, we've got growth that we're trying to deal with and all of that. So it just seemed like a marker of, hey, the toddler, you know, is walking. Now is a good time to put some structure to this thing for the future, knowing that, you know, we're reminded we're not just trying to make Coastline a really healthy, good church. We're trying to launch a good, healthy church that we're hoping will outlive all of us. Mm. So I think knowing that's part of the vision, that's part of the, where I would say to the person, like, I get, and I know where you're coming from, but you need to, we're doing these things, not necessarily just for today, but also for who we're going to become and who we are in the future.
So then that kind of leads into my next question. What is that? Like, what is the goal of a church? Is the church goal to be, like you said in Blueprints, a great church? Like, what is a great church? What is the goal of the church? We start Coastline. Is the goal micro? Is it local? Like, this is the goal of Coastline. The goal of, you know, John Doe Christian Church down the road is a different goal? Do all churches have the same goal? I guess I'm just wondering, like, what is it? What is the point?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I go back to our vision statement, right? We want people to join the family and experience Christ. I mean, that's really what it's about, which is, you know, we want to invite people into the family. And as they're part of the family, more than coming to church or fulfilling a ministry obligation, we want them to experience the life of Christ in a very real way. Now, every church will tell you that. That's where the mission comes straight out, probably the great commandment and the great commission that every church is kind of built on as far as its vision and missional mandate. But then every church uniquely gets to say, here's how we want to do that. And I think that's, again, where it gets fleshed out in our four core values as to who we want to be. And I would say, you know, what makes, I'm shifting your question a little bit because you're asking, you know, what's the goal? But what makes a church great? I'm just reminding people, like, we have the things that we initially feel. Like, does it have preaching that stirs me? Does it have worship that I want to worship to and it moves me? Does it have programs that make sense to me that I want to be part of? That all very much matters. But at the end of the day, what makes a church great is the health of its people. Like I always say it, like it's the heart of the people that make the church great. The more you have people in your church actually trying to live the life of Jesus with each other and for each other and for the sake of the city, your church is going to be great. If that's a high percentage, the church is going to be fun and vibrant. If it's low percentage, it's going to be we're meeting just to meet.
So practically, what is the role of a church in helping its congregation be healthy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I would say that the role lies on both, I mean, to the staff and to the congregation as a whole, right? I think the staff has the responsibility of giving vision, which is what the series is about, and providing clarity as to what are we trying to accomplish here? And then it's up to the congregation to say, I'm going to go with you, I'm in, and then we learn from each other. Right? Like we've talked about it before, like we catch each other's affect and somebody who's really in and going for it might be more motivational to somebody else than Sean getting up saying, you really need to do this because this verse says you need to do it. You know, like what's really going to move you walking next to somebody who's like, hey, I want to share my life about Christ with you because Christ is doing some crazy stuff in my life. That's going to move you more toward, hey, how am I living into my faith versus like, hey, we're told, you know, to share our faith. Here's the verse. So I would say it lies on both to create this healthy environment.
And I like that idea of like diversity because I probably wouldn't resonate with the verse, but somebody next to me might. You know, I could hear a personal testimony and be like, yeah, I really want to serve. And the person next to me is like, that's just their experience. But like the gospel tells us to pick up our cross and die to ourselves and, you know, Think of the least of these. And so that's the cool piece, like that kind of symbiotic relationship, like the pastoral staff responds to the people who respond to the pastoral staff. And it's a constant conversation. And again, we keep talking about our size at Coastline. It's really cool because we can keep the conversation going. There are very little, if any, layers that separate us from people on a Sunday, right? Like We're not off in some room waiting to come up on stage. We're not like leaving after the sermon. We're not like hired hands just coming in and like, we don't know anything about this congregation. We don't know what we're doing here. Like we're in it every Sunday. Like I think, Garrick, every time you preach, you're mic'd up and you're walking through the aisles before the sermon, before the service even starts, just talking to people. And It's like, wow, that's pretty rare.
I think it's important for everybody to know. Hopefully they've experienced this. But if you haven't, all six of our staff are amazing.
Five.
And they're all
five.
Accessible.
Except for Nikki.
Like we are, well, it's because like she's head and shoulders above the rest of us.
Yeah, she's on her own level.
Yeah. But we're all accessible. Right. So like I had a coffee with a guy yesterday, you know, all of us are meeting with whether you're meeting with students and your staff, Sean's constantly meeting with congregants. Like we are here. And part of the value of Coastline has been the leadership off the stage and being intentional about that. So I'm encouraging people, you know, we can't be everywhere, you know, everywhere and everything for everyone. We're not the Holy Spirit, but we are accessible. Mm-hmm. So take advantage of it.
That's rad. And I think that's a great invitation. You know, come talk to us, come text us, email us. Maybe some of us will respond, maybe some of us won't. Sean, for you as someone who is kind of crafting this sermon series, how do you make this sermon series about the church different than other sermon series about the church? Because I imagine like an Advent series, or if you're going to do a series on like money, there are the same passages you can go to. So when you're crafting this, where are you looking in scripture, and what is your scriptural basis for making this sermon series the way that it is?
That's a good question. Sometimes with the sermon series, you like pick a book, right? Like we'll probably do Galatians in the fall. That's, I think, currently scheduled. And out of that comes what you're going to preach each week, comes kind of what's next in Galatians. It dictates to you what you're going to do. But in a series like this, part of it is, I think, we sit down and look and say, who are we right now? Who do we want to become? And how do we get there? Yeah. And with that comes kind of the dream. And then you go to the text and you pull it out. That's not, you know, typically how you do it, because this is like a topical sermon series. It's the church. And it could be a little bit overwhelming then, because you could end up with so many passages that are shaping it. But that's where a kind of vision series is like it's kind of looking off in the distance and casting a vision for who we're going to be, and then addressing the obstacles, like, and here's the things that are in the way of us actually getting there. So that's part of it is, and I think, you know, I sat down and wrote down, once Garrick said, I think we should do something on the church, I think I brought him like 12 or 14, like, this is my vision for Coastline, where I think we need to go. And then Garrick's like, okay, get rid of those five, and this is what's missing, let's develop it. So it's done very much in team as we come together to figure out this is our shared vision for the thing.
You were going 90 and Garrick says, let's go 30.
Yeah. But again, this is part of what like I really enjoy about our partnership is like, he gives me the freedom to go 90. And I know when I'm going 90, I know that he's going to slow me down. So it allows me to go as fast as I can going, here's all the work I just did, now edit it.
Yeah.
And he can edit it. And I am expecting it to be edited. And it comes back. I'm like, yes, thank you for doing that. So it's really fun in that way. Cause we both get to be fully ourselves and live into our gifts and respect and anticipate the work that the other is going to do.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And that's where the partnership's really fun. Cause if I had to do if I had to live constantly where Sean naturally just thrives, I would die. Like if it was up to me to like, hey, go create a teaching series for the next 2 years, you know, I would just be like, oh,
I would
my
die.
God. That'd just
quote,
be over.
Garrick Hanger.
Yeah. I would die. It would be overwhelming. And so it's really fun to craft a series here and there, you know, like Lent and other things, but it's really fun for the majority of time to take the ideas that are always cranked out of Sean's mind and then just help shape them.
Well, and again, this is what happened. Garrick said, we need a sermon series for after Easter, the one after Easter. And I said, okay.
Yeah.
And what I brought back was 15 sermon series.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, you totally did.
And we scheduled it through the middle of 2024.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just got an idea of like a funny YouTube series would be like have one person on staff do another person's job. So like have Garrick plan sermon series or like who can complete the task first. Garrick has to plan like a really robust, comprehensive teaching schedule from like the day you start to 8 months from then.
Yeah.
And then Sean has to balance a budget. It's like, who would do it first? Oh,
and as long as neither of us would have to set up the podcast, we'd be fine.
Yeah. So it'd be like Nikki then has to set up the podcast while I like get a bunch of permits for something in the park. Like it just, that would be a really, really, really
fun
series.
Dude, talk about, if we did that for like a month, talk about the utter chaos that Coastline would be.
Sure. You would need a teaching series to pick up the pieces of
that.
We would need to have a lot of therapists come in and just.
It would only take about 3 weeks before our congregation would be like, what is happening?
Well, luckily it's not going to happen that way. So Sean, I'm wondering what were some of your initial points that maybe like Garrick pushed out of the sermon series? Like you said, you brought him 15 and he whittled it down a little bit. And then from there, where can we expect some of these sermons to be going in this series?
Well, some of it is to set us up for polity. We talked about that. Like one of the things that's on my heart is we've always said that we want to be a church that prays before it plans. We want to be a prayerful church. Mm-hmm. But as much as we write that down on paper, I don't know if it's actually lived right now. I mean, I don't think that Coastline is tremendously strong at prayer. I don't know if we're weak, but we want it to be a strength. And it's just like, for mm-hmm. example, like we'll say, hey, there's people up front who are available to pray for you after service. Those people have been trained and they're gifted in it, and they almost never get a chance to actually pray for somebody. We're terrible at asking for prayer. And so we have this vision, but it's not being lived out into. And I think it's like to our people's own detriment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of the series is like, we need to push our people outside of the embarrassment of, I don't want to be up front, outside of the like self-reliance of I've got this, but to actually value prayer and to be people who seek it out. That's like really important for me. So these are the things that you're going to hear is like, we say that we want to pray. We don't think that we're really praying that great. So let's mm-hmm. face that reality and let's jump in. Mm-hmm. I think that's part of what excites me for the series.
Yeah.
And I'm super amped because that prior week episode comes out next week and it's with Michael Barker and Tiffany Adams.
Oh, dude, that'll be great.
I hear that they both are good at praying.
Yeah. And I mean, shout out to our prayer team. We have an amazing prayer team. And when we say we want to grow in prayer, it's really, how do we grow the congregation in greater prayer? Because we do have a tremendous prayer team, and how do we utilize them even more than we are? You know, I would add to that. I think there's a week in there about us being a church for the city, mm-hmm. and I think that's also our continued growth point of how are we out there loving as Jesus loved well those that we're living right around. Right. And learning to invite people into not only our lives, but into the family. I mean, we can't just rely on like Joyce and Jenny Kotke. Shout out to both of them as they probably gave out like, you know, 1,000 cards for Easter, just the two of them. But like how, and again, that's their gift and not everybody has to have the same gift. But how do we each play a part in our desire to recognize that we want to be a blessing with the love of Christ to the city that we're planted in?
I love that. And I don't think that we at Coastline have really had that conversation beyond like, we're doing Easter at Veterans Park and we're doing an Easter egg hunt. Like, thinking about the missional focus of Coastline, I don't think I've ever really thought about it. And so to be pushed and challenged in that, I think will be very, very helpful.
Not even just the like, yes, the missional response. Just how open are we to welcoming newer people into our church and our lives? Mm-hmm. I mean, I was the high school pastor for a million years. So were you, Hunter. I can't believe still how is. Many people. Yeah, right. Still is. The most common complaint about the youth group that I led was that it was cliquish.
Yeah.
And that's because the parents are cliquish. And that's because the community is cliquish. And it's just the South Bay is full of a lot of generationally deep relationships. But man, it can be hard to break into if you are coming in from the outside. And that's still true of Coastline. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to become a missional people, yes, let's do Easter in the park where people can hear it. But none of that's going to really matter if when people actually come through the doors of the church, if nobody says hello and welcomes them and invites them into their home.
Yep.
It's just totally. Not going to matter.
Yep. And I think the message needs to be like, Coastline, keep going. Because it's like, and you would agree, like you look at what happens on the patio when we do tacos. And not that it was ever bad, but I would say it is great and it's probably stronger and better than where it was when we first started. Yeah. Where I see more different generations mixing and talking and connecting. And yeah, it can still be kind of a socially awkward space to begin with. But I do think as we continue to try to teach that idea of us, more than anything, us being a welcoming community and inviting people, not just welcoming them to the church, but actually engaging in friendship and relationship and inviting new people into our space outside of Sunday. Again, that's what's going to be key. And we all have to grow in that.
Yeah. And speaking of growing in that, what time is your alarm on your phone set for to pray for that?
8:38.
Max 8:38.
It was really fun. My alarm went off. Janine hadn't left for work yet. Emery was up. She's on spring break. And since she was in the sermon on Sunday, my alarm went off. She's like, oh, I know what that is. So we stopped as the three of us and we prayed for new life to come through Coastline and for us to have baptisms in June.
Love it.
It's awesome.
I hope so. I fingers crossed. It's something I think about a lot, especially as it pertains to the youth group. There are people and kids who came with us who aren't with us anymore. And you think with like a new church, vibrant, young, fun, like you'd think that everybody would stick around, but like the same problems that plague a bigger group with a longer legacy and more of a culture, they still come up, and the same thing happens at church. There are people who are with us in the launch team and who are there the first couple of weeks, volunteering on stage, part of the life of the church, who aren't here anymore. And we have to ask ourselves, why is that? And this sermon series, I think, seeks to answer that in a little bit. Like, let's look at some of the things, some of the foundations, some of the blueprints, thank you, and see what we can't tweak or what we can't relearn and push ourselves as a community to do better so that that doesn't keep happening. And that's really, really compelling. And I think people are going to be really blessed by going through this, where it's not going to be like Acts, where it's 7,500 weeks and it's just like, this kind of feels just boring and whatever. And it's not Foundations, where it's like, this is the first day of camp and we're talking about how great the cabin's going to be. Like, you're walking, you're here, you've been with us. Let's figure out how this is going to look long-term sustainably. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the perfect time for this. Mm-hmm. I think it's the perfect time for this. And I think that people are going to be really, really blessed as they walk through this series.
Yeah.
So last question for you guys, let's say someone's listening to this podcast and they're like, cool, I'm in, can't wait to hear all these sermons, but I am, you know, my Audible subscription is restarted, or I have a free book on Amazon. I want to jump into a resource about church, maybe not specifically church planting or how to grow a church, but like, what does the Bible say about church? What does some of my favorite pastors or theologians or scholars say about church? So what are some resources that you guys have used maybe in this season or in previous seasons of ministry to learn more about church?
Yeah, I have a couple books written down that have been impactful to me when I think about church. So I'm just going to give three. Emotionally Healthy Spirituality is a huge piece. Again, because what makes a great, healthy church is great, healthy people. And that book is to help us dig into our lives and build a healthy relationship with the Lord, where it all starts. So all of these are kind of more on the pragmatic level than not necessarily the theological level. The second one I love is When Church Was a Family by Joe Hellerman. That is a great read, and that will help you understand why this fully family value is so significant at Coastline. That is a great book. He has this great chapter in there about salvation as a community creating event.
Yep.
I love that. So when we baptize somebody, when someone comes to faith, it's not just, oh, they started a relationship with the Lord. It's supposed to be a community creating event in their life. Like, they are being welcomed into a family. And recapturing that biblical vision is so exciting. And I think it's one of the most exciting things for me that we're doing at Coastline. And then finally, I would say Practicing the Power, Sam Storms, my guy, who is a... Well, he's a charismatic Calvinist, right? And so he's massively biblical and just, I think, really pushes and moves for the church to really experience the Spirit. And if you're somebody who wants to grow in the Spirit... I mean, he'll push us outside of the bounds of, I think, what we're even comfortable with as far as some of the practice, but it will be done all in a very biblical manner. And I just think, as far as how do we stay in step with the Spirit, how do we live into that value of Spirit seeking collectively, I know no greater resource. Quick read, challenging read, and really good.
Those are some heaters.
Yeah.
Sean?
Yeah, I was going to say When the Church Was a Family by Joe Hellerman. Mm-hmm. Great read. So I would second that one. Practicing the Power is good. I didn't expect you to mention that one because it's good, but it's also a challenge.
Hold on.
It is.
You didn't expect him to mention that because it's good? You just said that.
No, he knows a lot of it that's there is stuff that we believe in and that we want to live into, but I think what he presents there is probably more fully formed than where we're at. So for me, it's always a vision of growing into and not something that, like, oh, we're here.
It totally fits, and I agree.
Yeah.
No knock in that book at all. If you want to understand how the Holy Spirit can work in your life and in your church, that's a good book. And it's challenging. It's stretching. Yeah. But Sam Storms is legit.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Do you have any resources, Sean?
Yeah, I would say When the Church Was a Family.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think that's a all-timer for...
That's the one I brought to the table, and Garrett got it.
Yeah, that's an all-timer for us here at Coastline. I know a lot of us.
What about for you?
That one would be for sure. No, seriously. And yeah. I was just going to tell a story. I was using it for something in youth group recently, and I had a copy, and I was like looking through it, and it was highlighted so much. And I highlight books, and I write in margins and stuff, but I was like, I don't know. Like, this isn't like feel like me, and I realized it was Nikki's copy. So I can't actually find my copy, but I've been using hers for years. And I don't know when I got her copy, and I gave it back, and she's like, I've been looking for this. And I was like, sorry, geez.
Deep and Wide by Andy Stanley was good too.
Oh, Deep and Wide. That's more small group focused.
Yeah, and it's also really maybe good. A little bit more for the pastor than it is for the congregant. Mm-hmm. But that too was just a really good challenge in terms of building the thing.
Yeah.
I think Deep and Wide is like a book that I read before I needed it. Mm-hmm. And then it just, by osmosis, comes out in so much that I do. I really like Deep and Wide. I think that's a good call. I think Tim Keller has that book Center Church, where it's about like church, urban church ministry. But what it is it's more practical than I think anything he's ever written. And I think that is a really helpful guide for people as they think about doing ministry outside of a Sunday and how you as a believer are equipped to do that. You don't need a church. You don't need curriculum or a community group to go be a light in your city. And that book inspires people and pushes people to do that. So I wouldn't say that's like my favorite resource, but now that just comes to mind, and we don't need to keep doing the book talk. That could be our other podcast, but those are some really good resources. And I think I would really recommend everybody go get When the Church Was a Family by Joe Hellerman. That is an absolute banger, 10 out of 10. And I think, you know, that will keep coming up in our sermon series as we talk about blueprints. Thank you guys for coming on the podcast. What a joy, what a treat, what an absolute honor to hear about the new vision, not new vision, the new teaching series that will establish our previous vision here at Coastline. So thank you so much.
We'll see you next week.
I just saw the look in your eye and I knew what you were doing. You were ready. You're out for blood when it comes to the catchphrase.
I love it. I love the moment when I set it up and you throw it back, or you set it up and I get to pick it up.
You know what's really funny? When I'm not on the podcast, but I can hear most of it from my office, I just wait for the moment where you finish. And I know Sean's just waiting. I'm just listening from my office for him to do the tagline.
And he doesn't even know it. That's the tragedy.
It's morphed in my mind and there's no like deprogramming.
Yeah.
You can't get it right.
It's whatever you want it to be. Coastline, whatever you want it to be. That's the new catchphrase, not only of the podcast, but the church. And we're going to drop that the very last week of the sermon series. We're going to baptize you and say, new slogan for Coastline, whatever you want it to be.
No.
This is why we need a leadership team and why we need bylaws.
Yeah, that's so why that we need can't quality. Happen.
You just started rumors in the South Bay. Oh, yeah. That church.
I'm creating problems for you guys to solve. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you for listening, and we'll see you whenever Sean says we'll see you.
And every week thereafter.
There you go.